The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Okay, I'm on. I can't just calm my hair myself. Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Friday, August 25th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day as we have a discussion on what is trending in the law. Big things are happening to the law. The Attorney General, Ryan Pinto, was in the newspaper and saying that we legalizing marijuana. No. Let me correct myself. Not legalizing marijuana, but he's proposing legislation for medical marijuana. That means medical use. A decriminalizing, I think that's the word he used, of a small quantity of marijuana. That was great and big news. And the third one was for use of religious purposes. So I'm not sure if that's Baptist people, but I'm going to try and investigate who is this going to be using this marijuana for religious purposes, right? Or is it this incense for the Anglican and the Catholic Church? But we're going to delve into that. But before that, let me read this, right? It says, Freeport, the Sand Dollar team is on the way. Experience a digital bohemian dollar at Sawyer's Fresh Market, Oak Street, on Friday, August 25th, from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. And again, at the Ray Vin Mall on August 26th, from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Come out and learn more about the central bank digital currency and sand dollar top-ups on us. Sand dollar is on the move. So I just want to get that out of the way. It's exciting things that the central bank is doing. And hey, if you haven't experienced that top up of the sand dollar, you know what you're missing. I got my free top up and I buy a couple of things. But anyway, I want to read pieces of the legislation that is being proposed. And there's another conversation I want Aaron to discuss with me where Honorable Attorney General mentioned in the news again. But let's start off with the legislation and me trying to interpret it, but mostly sections of it that I found, hey, this is worth bringing into the listening audience to analyze, to see what's the future proposed. So I got one or two clippings out and I sent it to Aaron to read. So we'll start that. This is where we're going to start. And I'm going to bring some persons in the constituency who this law, or proposed law, is out for consultation. That means they want us to talk about it. They want us to consider it. They want us to challenge it. They want us to say, this is good. And actually, I think this is something, a feather inside the PLP administration's cap, to say that they're being bold. They are trailblazing. They are committed. Let's say that's the better word. They are committed to making this happen. And this is a movement from the regular talking, because these politicians could talk a lot about this marijuana thing. But let's read this legislation. And like I said, I selected one that I want to hash out with Aaron first. Get your phone ready there for
me. I'm ready. I'm good.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so we're reading from the Cannabis Bill 2023. We're going to read from Section 49, Religious Use, and it's under the subtitle Access to Cannabis for Religious Purposes. Religious Use. Subsection 1. An organization of the Rastafarian faith or a person who is responsible for the administration or management of a place of worship of the Rastafarian faith may apply to the authority for a religious use license to distribute cannabis to members for use as a sacrament in an assembly of or in association with other Rastafarians in a place of worship in accordance with the provisions of this act. Section 2. The holder of a religious use license shall only distribute cannabis to members A, who are 18 years of age or older, and B, for use solely as a religious service.
Did you hear that? It seems as the religion, Rastafarianism, Rastafari is being recognized by the state. It is a religion, and this religion has sacrament, and the state is proposing that that sacrament be respected. This is big news. The Rastas, them need to come on the radio and basically explain what does that mean to them.
A, and B, we need to have a discussion to sit this new legislation, right? It's still a bill. It hasn't been passed yet. But what we see here, I think, is the entrenchment of a statutory right, right? To smoke, to possess, to distribute for the purpose of a sacrament in a service. But let's juxtapose that to the recent ruling in the case where the courts ruled that for Rastafarians, access is not a constitutional right.
I'm going to delve in our conversation because that's three different separate conversations.
Yeah, yeah.
But first of all, is Rastafarianism a recognized religion? And when I say recognized religion, I know that they speak about, talk about in school, say, well, there's a religion called Rastafarianism, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, and we know that all religions are respected or recognized by the Constitution itself. But the Rastafarian community always come forward and say they are being discriminated, their religion. And then they have tenets and say these are the tenets that are being discriminated.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that it seems as if the government is proposing to recognize their worship, entrenched in law, because they call their names. They ain't say no Baptist could smoke weed. They ain't say no Anglican could smoke weed. They state a specific grouping, religious group, has access.
Now, I have to see the rest of the legislation because I can't imagine.
But you read it, yeah.
No, this is only a snapshot. I got to read the whole thing and see all of the pieces together because I would then argue that it's unconstitutional to offer that right in statute to one religious group and not to other religious groups.
Any other religious group ever say that it's their sacrament?
Yes.
Who?
Plenty other religious groups say it's their sacrament.
Just go one.
They're non-traditional, non-denominational, not aligned with any.
That's like a cult. They call those said cult. We talk about religious
Christianity
group.
Was a cult.
But there ain't no cult no more.
The Roman Catholic Church still say Anglicanism is a cult. Roman Catholic Church still say Methodism is a cult. The Roman Catholic Church still say Baptist is a cult.
But that's side of the point. On this side of the point.
No, that's all sides of the point.
On this side of the point.
And see, that's the point.
Anglicanism is a religion.
That's the point. That you can't. It's not a religious thing. I'm concerned, right? Mm-hmm. And I would love to delve into the challenge emanating from the Rastafarian community, right? The challenge to the constitutionality of the laws. Because I don't think that you can tell any religious group. I could start a church today and say that smoking cannabis is a part of our sacrament.
And this is where the conversation comes in. And I want us to hash this part out first before we reach to the marijuana part.
Mm-hmm.
It seems as if the Rastafarianism religion itself is being gutted, respected,
and that's great.
Within law.
First of all, maybe they're being recognized through codification, but they've always been, there's never been any outlawing, right? The Constitution says you have the right to freedom of association.
That's worship, man.
Listen, you have the right to freedom of association, the right to freedom of conscience, and you have the right to freedom is one more thing. And the three of those things together combine what I call into a right to be free from religion and to be free to practice whatever religion you want.
A number of religions need a marriage license to perform wedding ceremonies, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if Rastafari can have a wedding ceremony because I'm not sure if their priest is recognized. And see, this is why I want to stay linger on this subject a little longer, because it seems as if the codification means that their priest itself can now apply to say, I can get a license. Since you mentioned me in law, I can get a license now and perform wedding ceremonies and be a part of the traditional religion. And this is big news. This is bigger than the marijuana news.
See, but not be a part of the traditional religion, but be respected.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's nobody could tell them they don't exist. Nobody could tell them that they're not real. They don't exist and they're not real. The question is, do state mechanisms, agencies, and state actors recognize them and engage respectfully? And that's where the problem lies, not in the state machinery itself, but the people whose job it is to carry out the state's agenda. Those are the ones. So it's not discriminatory in nature, but what we find is discrimination in practice and application of the rules, provisions, access to services.
Okay. I want us to reread that, right? Because I have parts, again, I want to hash out, at least to make sure the listening audience is appreciating and understanding. And I see that all the phone lines are lit up, and I want to engage the callers to help so they can put their two cents in it.
All but right. I want to read this part again.
No. I can go to the callers first, okay. And then we can read it again, and then little segments of it, I want your commentary on what you think it means.
Okay.
So that's what I want to do. Okay, let's go to the first caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Yeah, I couldn't hear you. I was saying hello on Ms. Green's show. She couldn't hear me. Good morning, Ms. Green.
Hey, good morning, sir. How you doing?
No, you know, I always bring a little history.
Yes, sir.
Listen to this now. See, I talk truth. Back in the 70s and 80s, when I graduated from the government in 1970, before I started working, I was introduced to ganja, marijuana, reef, or whatever you call it, by friends of mine that went off to school and came back after their first summer. I used to work at Deltec International, and in the morning from Madera Street to Deltec on the corner of Cumberland and Marlboro, I would walk to work with a joint in my hand smoking. I worked for 6 years at Deltec International, Mike, and nobody knew I smoked. I had to work on many jobs, and I smoked my reefer. Nobody knew I smoked. Right? I was married for 6 to 8 years, and after that, I got a divorce and everything. My wife told me that Sparky used to smoke. Nobody knew I used to smoke. One time ago, the police was looking for me. I became a pusher on Madera Street, and the fellas that know me knew that. I left the Bahamas, went up to Howard University, stayed some time up there with my brother in Washington, D.C. One day I decided, that's it. I'm going back home, get a job. I came back home, got a job. I stopped smoking because it was illegal in the Bahamas. I said, well, I'll just smoke my Rothman cigarette and drink my Guinness. I was at Jamaica, spent time in Ocho Rios, lived in the Rio Hotel, went around Jamaica, but while I was in Jamaica, there's places where you can smoke. I'd smoke. But when I was coming back, that was the end of it. What I had left, I gave to the taxi driver. That and the big 40 ounce or whatever I had. And I came back, they said, fellas, people was waiting to meet at the airport, because everybody who had parked was in Jamaica smoking. I said, well, I'm bringing nothing back.
Okay,
so. I met all kinds of police inside the reception area. I say, hey guys, what happened? They walk around me. I say, nothing here. I ain't bring nothing.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is now that we're going to legalize this, are we going to have the same thing? Listen to this carefully, Ms. Green. Okay, I'm a farmer now. If I apply to, say, grow medical marijuana, are we going to see the same big fellas like them who got the number rockets and them who got all the big-time businesses? Are they going to be the same ones get the license? Because if I say Sparky's a farmer now, I want to grow medical marijuana. Am I going to be get cut out of there, or they already got their special group of people picked? Because you know, once you start growing it here, like in Jamaica, you could export it to Canada. The Jamaicans right now are making a lot of money exporting what they call medical ganja, or whatever you call it, reefer, whatever it is, to Canada. They're making millions of dollars. Can Sparky get in on the deal?
Okay, let me comment on that. Well, I'm not sure. To grow medical marijuana, I assume that you're to grow a special grade, eh?
Well,
just regular weed.
If we look at the article, if we look at today's Guardian, right, and it says 19 medical conditions would qualify for cannabis. Mm-hmm. Here's something more interesting. People are now producing strains, like they're developing strains to hopefully cure or alleviate particular conditions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're growing for a particular type of cancer, you're going to be growing a particular strain.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you test that strain, you got to hit the requirements, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to know when you're growing this is exactly what you're going to come out with as the end process.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just say, hey, I can throw these seeds down.
So it can't be wild weed.
Right, right. And so
specific weed.
The requirements, the restrictions are the requirements, right? Do you have the capacity to operate right, an entity that can do this? Do you have the money required to buy the equipment, right? Do you have the money required to insure both your sort of physical thing and then the professional insurance?
So the long and short, you're trying to say that the ordinary Joe Blow can't say, man, growing weed, that's the cure right there.
No, that's not it. It's not that the ordinary Joe Blow can't do it. It's that the ordinary Joe Blow has to have organized. Mm-hmm. The ordinary Joe Blow could do it, right? That's the equality part. Mm-hmm. The equity part is, has the ordinary Joe Blow been able to organize and create an entity that has the capacity to participate in this industry? That's the difference, the equality versus equity.
There you go, Sparky. Let's go to the next caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller Gern Wendt.
The medical marijuana, my condition, will have loosened up muscles. The older I get, the tighter my muscles is, and that is, that could be not good. But my doctor was telling me medicine, marijuana medicine, will be definitely good for that.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely I welcome, and folks like me welcome the marijuana, medical marijuana, definitely welcome. But in addition to that, I have a question, the astrologer. Is this going to be like the gambling bill, remember? When everybody could have thought they could have, the man on the street is that number. You remember the man on the street is that number, right?
No, the man on the street was always waiting for someone who was selling numbers.
Right. He thought that he could afford the gambling license.
To set off on his own and start his own shop.
Exactly. It was shocking that it was up millions of dollars. So would they price the Rasta religious movement out of the market?
No. Rastas don't sell weed for profit. Get that out of your head.
No. Let me rephrase that then. Other entities.
Okay. Don't be like blaming Rasta for things.
Get into it. What they price them out of the market.
Okay. We'll comment on that. And then Aaron already actually explained on that, right? You need to meet the prerequisite. You need to have insurance. Because imagine you sell a bad batch of weed and then people get sick and then you say, oops. You can't say oops.
Yeah.
It's medicine. There's medicine.
You can't say the lizard poop on the weed. I didn't know.
No. You have to have conditions. Whatever farm you're on, it has to be specific conditions.
And
so if you can meet those conditions, no matter how much money you have, I'm sure you can bid.
And also, let's just step to the left for a second, right? If we look at the articles this morning, there's a distinction being made between medicinal marijuana and Indian hemp, right? Indian hemp is all of it. That's the whole thing. Because that's what the law said. You have any part of Indian hemp or byproduct, you get in lockup. But the point is this, is that you will probably have a better chance as a smaller guy getting into the industrial side of this conversation, right? I hear the minister responsible for Family Island Affairs and Agriculture and Marine Resources talking about identification of land, right, for growth. But if you're growing medicinal marijuana, you need to be growing in a greenhouse. You need to have completely sealed grow spaces. But if you grow an industrial hemp...
No. I hear you. But let's stick with the law. Say, what did the
Attorney General... The conversation is also about industrial hemp.
Read that part with industrial hemp, because I heard medical marijuana only. And then now you're talking about this industrial hemp. I can't have us confusing people. Is it medical marijuana or is it industrial hemp we could do? Because I heard medical marijuana and then I heard the Rastas. Two things. So I want to stick on those two things.
Yeah, but it says bills would ease restrictions on religion and medicinal use, but recreation... an offense. You keep talking. See, I can find it. It's in the article.
And I don't mind exploring that, but I don't want to give people a false sense of hope. The Attorney General was specific. He said that he is introducing proposed laws for medical marijuana, full stop. Then he went as far to say that they're decriminalizing a certain amount, small quantity, I think it's an ounce. And I think if it is an ounce, you know it's only as big as your thumb.
Right.
That's personal use. That's like a one smoke thing, right? So you only get enough to have that one smoke. And then he went into detail. If you have more than a one smoke thing,
if you have more than an ounce, eh?
Yeah, that's one smoke thing.
Okay, I'm glad. I am glad to see that you don't know anything about marijuana. I'm glad to see that.
How much is an ounce? How much smoke you get an ounce?
From what I've heard when I was doing my researches on the street.
What you're doing your researches on the street.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You could get far more than one smoke from an ounce. More than two smokes.
So three smokes. Let's call it three smokes.
You could get a minimum, I think, of 20, 30 smokes.
But an ounce?
Yeah, I mean, an ounce is what?
I don't know.
How many grams? 28 grams?
I need to confirm that an ounce.
An ounce, I think, is 28 grams. You divide that by four because they use this language, quarter ounce, right? Divide that by four.
Yeah.
Anyway, an ounce is far more than just one smoke.
Okay, so four smokes. Okay, if you have more than four smokes for your personal use or you, they plan to give you a fine. That's what they're saying. That's my, and I, we can confirm what's the amount of specific amount that they mentioned. But the point is, if you go over that amount, you can get a fine. And if you're a weed seller, you know, those people who have a large quantity, you're going to jail. All that right. ain't changed.
So let me read from today's Guardian. It says, quote, I think this is from the Attorney General, quote, if you are buying cannabis for recreational purposes, you are committing an offense.
Read that part again.
If you are buying cannabis for recreational purposes, you are committing an offense, he said. If you're selling cannabis without a license, you are committing an offense. If you are importing cannabis into the country without a license, you are committing an offense. Those have not changed as a result of this legislation. In the context of possession of less than 30 grams...
30 grams, you know, so go ahead.
There is a fixed penalty currently proposed at $250, which, if paid within a specific time, will not be reflected on the offender's criminal record. If the alleged offender wishes to dispute the charge, he may do so, but by doing so, he forfeits the waiver of the criminal record if he is found guilty. I got a small... So you waive, you get found with less than an ounce.
Yeah.
You pay the fine.
Yeah.
Your criminal record is not put on your criminal record. It's erased,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Will the United States of America, though?
You want control them people over there?
No. Currently, as the law stands, you get a conviction here. After 7 years, you could apply to have that conviction erased from your record.
Mm-hmm.
Because a cannabis conviction in the Bahamas can result in a restriction on your access to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
You revoke your visa or, you know, it's unfavorable. After the period of 7 years where you can apply in the Bahamas to have it wiped from your record, the U.S. is not under any obligation to wipe it from their record, and they keep it on their record. And so what I want to know is the Ministry of Foreign Affairs working with the U.S. State Department so that we could have a reflection, right, sort of in the change of the law, so that the United States also treats us the same way?
That's in the future. I see we have callers here. Because
any
more thing for the restriction or guilty thing? Or so we go to callers next?
Go to the callers.
Let's go to the callers. Because I won't go back to the Rastafarian thing.
Yeah.
We could talk about weed Monday again.
No, weed. I mean, we could talk about cannabis, marijuana. I don't talk about weed.
You won't talk about weed?
No.
That ain't the same thing?
Indica.
That's what the song said. Let's go, caller. Caller, can you hear me? We talk about
Indica. Yeah, Mr. Dewey, let me straighten you out.
No, you get disconnected. Go ahead. The next caller.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think Ms. Green is a little wrong on that one. They're saying if they catch you with that and you choose to pay the fine, the $250, they will not charge you. But if you don't pay the fine, then you get charged and get put on your record. So therefore, it would never make it to your record if you pay the fine within a specific time.
I think Ms. Green was saying that if you want to challenge it.
She didn't say challenge. She just said the fine will be on your record, then it show up on your record, and then... stuff like that, said that you paid your fine. No, it would never make a record if you pay your fine before a specific time.
I agree with you.
No.
Just read that part again.
Let me repeat it. Quote, in the context of possession of less than 30 grams, there is a fixed penalty.
Uh-huh.
That means that's a crime.
Currently
proposed at $250.
Let's just read it.
Which is paid within a specific time, right? So you've been charged... and that's on the record. If you pay the $250 within a specific time, they'll take it off the record. The question is, will the U.S. record that as a conviction because they are under no obligation to waive it with the understanding that you paid the fine?
See, see, now my understanding is that they would never make it. Let's say you get a ticket, right? And you don't pay your ticket, then you become on your record, right? But if you pay your ticket before that, it'll never make your record.
No, I have a feeling it's on the record, and if you pay it, they'll take it off. But if you don't pay it, it stays on.
I think you can make it that far.
So that's something to ask the Attorney General to
clarify that some more.
No, they must clarify it.
Yeah, because that could cause many people not go to stay still.
Yeah.
Because, you know, America, you could get let her jail today and come to Obama some more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? But then otherwise, the other way around, you can't even enter the country.
Yeah.
All right.
Caller, I appreciate you bringing it up. Let's go to the next call. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller, can you hear me?
Good morning, Ms. Green, and good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning.
You know, Ms. Green and Mr. Nuri, there seems to be a preponderance of ignorance about the cannabis plant. I'm sickened. And there's a level of asininity by the ruling party because, in truth and fact, you know, the last caller was trying to compare a traffic ticket with the cannabis possession. It will be a criminal offense to possess the cannabis, right? A traffic ticket wouldn't stop you from going to the States, right, Ms. Green? You know, and so you was correct about the amount. So 30 grams would be 1.7 more grams than an ounce. An ounce is, you're actually correct, an ounce is 28.3. It's mm-hmm. not flat.
Yeah.
Okay, it's 28.3 grams. Now, the problem I have is with it's a discriminatory type of paradigm that they're creating because on one hand, if you're poor and you can't pay the fine, it's on your record. Mm-hmm. But if I'm rich and I live in Life and Key, the public will never know. And so Dr. Darwell is limited also because, you know, I don't learn much from him when he speaks, but actually there is 426 ingredients in the cannabis plant, not 500. It is, he's incorrect on that point, so I don't know what he read or where he's read. But firstly, there's a lot of loopholes in the system. You need a town hall meeting to hear from people like me. I could teach them. And Mr. Nui, when I was young, the Rastas used to sell the weed, so I don't know what's going on with you with that. You know, we used to go into different places, Margaret, et cetera, and get the weed, right? Yo. So what I'm saying is, we have to understand that, we know it's the most nutritious part of the plant, right? Hello?
The flower?
No, the seeds.
Oh, well,
and
yes.
I'm not hearing anything about that because you mentioned the industrial side of it. And so the seeds possesses all type of vitamins, trace minerals, and nutrients, proteins also. But what I'm saying, Ms. Green, is let's remember now, the cannabis plant is good at absorbing heavy metals from out of soil. So when mm-hmm. you're growing it biologically, hence the need for a gas chromatography machine. We're not hearing about these things. We're not hearing about the new studies that showing other therapeutic effects of cannabis. They're just more paradigm, you know, and they're duping the public. And, you know, a lot of us are still cutting sugarcane in our brain. And we seem to think that someone who smokes cannabis is a criminal. If so, then let's test all of the politicians them for drugs. See what they're using. Because everybody's hypocritical in this model. You had Bill Clinton saying he smoked it, but he didn't inhale it. What BS? You know, so Obama admitted to smoking it. So, and another thing I'm not hearing, Ms. Green, see, you know, I've been reading High Times for over 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is, I'm full of this knowledge. There's nothing being spoken about the detoxification of the cannabis plant. When you grow plant hydroponically,
mm-hmm.
there's a certain period of time that is required by law. They say they consulted with people in Canada. That's why no one, a marijuana smoker, I think Whitman is on the marijuana panel, right? But somebody with sense and the sense of the science. It's complicated. There's nothing that can drop. I'm offended by people who know nothing about this coming in and sitting on a panel and their mind is like a channel. They know nothing.
But
you have to detoxify the plant because you people who induce certain chemicals to liquid Medtronics, and then after a while, I think it's 3 weeks is required. Let me know the time that you require to detoxify a plant before you give it to the public. There's a lot of things in there like medical conditions that mm-hmm. people shouldn't be taking it. See,
and
I'm looking to be hired in the industry as a curator, master grower, and everything because I went to school in Jamaica. I also read a lot, so I'm ahead of them.
Yes.
And I have to say what I'm not hearing the pundits saying like during the pandemic.
And this is what
so you need consultation with people.
And this is what the Attorney General is saying, that he is inviting consultation from people like you, 52. Who can challenge the law and say, well, this doesn't make this no sense. This is discriminatory. So it can improve upon whatever proposed law that they're putting forward. But I still want us to concentrate on the Rastafarian because this is a a segment that needs to be hashed out, right? Because people are concerned whether it's discriminatory for a person who wants to smoke weed recreational. We find out that so far, recreational weed smoking is what?
Still illegal.
Still illegal. So if you believe that you could go around and smoke weed, no, you can get locked up, right? And then they said how much you can have on you, right?
No.
Go ahead.
They say how much, what they tell you is, they're not telling you how much you could have on you. I mean, they tell you you can have any on you.
None.
But if you are caught with some on you and it is less than 30 grams, then you have an opportunity to have your record cleared by paying the fine.
So you aren't going to jail no more because you know Rassi's going to jail for a joint.
Right, which is extremely problematic, right? And it's one of the reasons why we should center the Rastas in this conversation, mm-hmm. right? If not for the entire conversation. Because the penalty was draconian for Rastas.
But are we moving forward? The Attorney General
but let's talk about it.
They admit that.
No.
They won't move forward. But so why beat them with that stick?
No, we're not beating anybody with a stick. We're pointing something out, man.
Mm-hmm.
See, I get locked up with a bag of weed. I go to jail, right? I go to Fox Hill Station or Central Station. The police then would call Lila Green. Hey, Miss Green, your bad head daughter in here. Da, 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 da. Young Rasta man gets locked up. They take him in there. They can rough him up.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on how long he stays in the jail, right? And goes to, in the jail before he goes to prison, he could get to prison. They can cut off his locks. That penalty, I got to find it right. It does. There's no balance in it.
And this
it's not commensurate.
And this is why the Attorney General now is proposing new laws, and that's why we have to commend him.
No, pause.
And find out what the new laws he's proposing.
Pause. But that's so. It feels like Rastas have a solid case, right? You shouldn't be cutting off my locks because you catch me with some weed and I have to go to jail.
Moving forward, he can sit
pause,
now.
Pause. Right, but Rastafarians shouldn't be the only people to have access to cannabis as a sacrament.
And we get into that yet. That's why we're going to read again. And we can discuss that. Who else? What other religion want claim that they can smoke weed for a sacrament? And they need to stay putting names out.
But this is the point. I think it's unconstitutional to tie it to a particular religion.
Okay, let's patch this. Let's call it through. I listen to Kermit shouting. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, Mr. Neri.
Hey, how you doing?
Thank God for life as usual. Poppy, how you doing, Miss Green?
I'm good, thank you. How you doing?
Rachel, and Miss Green, they saying that if people out there get catch with a bit from 1 gram to 30 grams, you have to pay $250 and it wouldn't go on your record?
No. You have to pay $250 and it will be wiped from your record.
That's
right.
That's from one seed or 1 gram to 30 grams.
Yeah.
That's up to 30 grams. So tell me something. Did they reach a stage yet where they saying that any one of us who want to grow marijuana in our yard, we'll be able to do it? That we ain't reached it
yet? No, not at all.
What you want to grow marijuana in your yard for?
He has, don't mind me, Papa.
Second, I could tell you, but what about the part where you could smoke recreation?
None.
That 30 grams, that ain't for recreation?
None.
Listen, you are not allowed to have cannabis, but if you are caught with it, you no longer will risk going to jail. You have an opportunity to just pay a fine, and if you pay the fine at a particular time,
and the amount is $250,
right? And the amount is $250, then that will be wiped from your record.
$250 for an ounce. So they still ain't allowing people to be able to smoke.
No, it's still illegal.
So you got to lie and go to the doctor so you get some kind of chronic pain.
No. Mm-hmm. No, that's separate. And we haven't gotten to that part yet. I still want to see what a medicinal medicine...
Okay, what about the Rasta part? If we say we worship like the Rasta, then we'll be able to...
I get into that. I'm trying to get back to it now, but Aaron, anyone read the part so I can interrogate?
You know what? Hold on. I know it's good to know they starting somewhere, right? And they say they prorogued the host and they want bonks back and all that stuff. But I won't say it's a waste of time, but why are they dragging their foot to recreation and the Rasta being able to use it and stuff like that?
Why they drag it?
Why we got to go through the long thing? I guess it's the state. They have to go through medical first. But I believe a lot of people might who want to smoke marijuana legally and who go foreign and maybe be able to use it because of glaucoma or whatever, back pain or whatever. And they ain't say what all the stuff is you can be able to get a prescription for. People might be dishonest and lie and say either they serve like the Rasta, the religion, or...
Well, see, Papa, let me interject here. Here's how they're dealing with that, right? If I get back to the legislation, it says that an organization of the Rastafarian faith or a person who is responsible for the administration of management of a place of worship. So here's what that means.
No. I don't want to explain that.
That's worship.
Because
you
I want to go line by line.
You can't smoke it to a little function or nothing.
No. Let's go. Papa, let's read it and we go line by line and then you can call back if you see a part that you disagree with.
Okay, go ahead, Aaron. Sorry.
Okay, so let's go back to that Rastafarian part, right?
All
right, and each line we stop, do a commentary, so we can have a general gist of what we think is being proposed.
Bill 2023, access to cannabis for religious purposes. Section 49, religious use. Subsection 1, an organization of the Rastafarian faith or a person who is responsible for the administration or management of a place of worship of the Rastafarian faith may apply to the authority for a religious use license to distribute cannabis to members for use as a sacrament in an assembly of or in association with other Rastafarians in a place of worship in accordance with the provisions of the Act.
So we'll pause and interrogate that. One, in the Bahamas, there are two Rastafarian faiths, right? There is the Bobo Shanti and the Nyabingi order. Jamaica has about 12 different other ones, right? But in the Bahamas, there are two major ones. And the Bobo Shanti being the largest organization. Each one has a head priest, and for lack of a better word, and forgive me, Rastafarian community, they have like a bishop who is head of the organization, right? And from what you read, it seems as if that person, and the quotes again, that bishop will now have to apply to the government to get a license, right? And that person will be responsible for distributing the marijuana. Is that what I'm reading, or is that...
Yeah, I think that makes sense. You can't say, oh, I'm going to stop off and get two bags to go to church, to go to the temple, to go to service.
So,
you can't bring your own cannabis to the service.
And I want Rastafarians to appreciate it. Can I, as a Rasta, say, man, I'm going to my service, but I have my own stash. I'm going to bring my own special supply
provisions that this bill suggests. I find this very problematic, right? Because I don't have to belong to a particular order or a particular assembly or a particular religious structure, Rastafarian structure, to be a Rastafarian. That's why it's very problematic to rest this right in a religious space, right? Either everybody gets to use it as a sacrament or no one gets to use it as a sacrament.
So, again, give an example.
I mean, when I say everybody, over the age of 18, not pregnant because you're responsible for another entity.
There's a song saying, one does not have to be dread to be Rasta. You can be living a Rastafarian life.
Mm-hmm.
However, this law is not saying that you could be living a Rastafarian life. You have to be belonging to a Rastafarian sect and a member of that sect. And the head of that sect will give you permission to partake in the sacrament in that holy place? Or can I smoke my weed as a Rastafarian in the sec at home? Does that say that?
I don't think it says that at all.
Read it one more time, then we go to the corner. I just want it. I wanted people to analyze and see what the law is saying. So Rastafarians in particular don't say, I can smoke weed.
So subsection 1 of section 49 says that an organization or a person who is responsible for the administration or management of a place of worship of the faith may apply for a religious use license. Subsection 2 says, the holder of a religious use license shall only distribute cannabis to members.
Members only? Is a member
still? And who are 18 years or older and for use solely as a sacrament at
And you, I don't say this. You know that in some Rasta sect, a man, a Rasta boy becomes man at 13. And at 13, one can
participate in the sacraments.
And what the law saying again?
You have to be 18.
See, these are things that not, need to
not
be
just
hashed
that. Up. Not just that. In I'm sure in Rastafarian faith, along with a number of Abrahamic based faiths, right? There's a principle. Wherever two or more are gathered, you can find God there. It's service. So what you telling me?
They need to go to the camp. We have a caller here because I want us interrogated some more. We have a caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Mr. Neri.
Go ahead.
Hey, Mr. Green.
Hi.
I was thinking the way how they doing it is a waste of time because they ain't covering the majority of people who are using the marijuana recreation. The majority of people I know is billions of dollars industry. But I think majority of people, a lot of people take it for health reasons, for medical reasons, but I think the majority of people is recreation, so they ain't covering the most of the people. So I wouldn't use the word a waste of time. I could use the word what you use, Ms. Green. Mm-hmm. You're very smart. That's what I like about you also. The word is problematic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how it sounds. It's just confusing. Like I say, a waste of time, but it's problematic. The majority of people who need this done recreation. And we ain't talking about no children. We're talking about responsible adults. That means the black market could still be going on. That means in spite of them saying they doing something to... I thought, like, don't make criminals out of these people. I like how they expunge the records already. They start that process. I know if they can continue. But this whole thing with the medical and stuff like that, I think they should have gone about it a little different. The majority of people still could be, maybe if they... Adult. I talk about adult. I talk about a response giant from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they was gonna put this industry like this whole thing like into the guy's hands who been doing it for years or who been growing the marijuana. Why are we wasting time about it? Why we ain't running up and doing it? I mean, we done talk about it so long. We still could keep talking and still doing some things. But just to deal with the medical, I say better late than never, and it's good they starting from somewhere. But this really ain't covering the majority of people, and we consider it as a waste of time or problematic, like Ms. Green say. Thank you, Mr. Neri.
Yeah, ma'am, my pleasure.
Absolutely. But listen, it's something that he said the first time he called, right, that I wanted to put in to respond to him. Like, you're right. It's a headline somewhere, tagline, that sort of says it clearly. This is about creating and regulating a medicinal cannabis industry.
Medicinal cannabis. This is what we're talking about.
No, pause. That isn't the point I'm making. It's about creating and regulating an industry, right? Although at the beginning, both parties tried very hard to give us the impression that they were prepared to legalize recreational use and personal cultivation. Let me repeat that. Even though both parties, the PLP and the FNM, tried very hard to suggest to us that that's what they were going to do without actually doing it or saying anything that would suggest they're actually going to do it, you got to really read between the lines, right? They never said anything that made me think that they were heading in that direction. But they got to understand that... you have to move at the pace of the world government, and we can understand that sometimes you can't move at the pace of the world. But when you intentionally slow the pace down, intentionally stop movement so as to create an industry for, we can't tolerate that.
I want you to analyze a word. In the proposed law, it mentions the word organization. An organization can apply. What do they mean by organization?
They mean you have to be registered with the government legally. So whether you're part of the NPO Act, which I think covers faith-based organizations.
Uh-huh. And I asked that question specifically, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Rastafarian community needs to organize themselves if they want to take part in this. If they're not registered as a... Because they sometimes say, they say Babylon, they burn fire on Babylon. But if they don't go and say, we are a religion, pay our whatever taxes involved, registered as an NGO or whatever it is, you cannot apply or cannot think that you can apply to the government to get permission to have this as a sacrament. You need to be a registered, in quotes, church. And I'm not sure if they understood that. And I wanted to make sure that that's clear. If they're listening, hey, if you're registered, if you just have a Rastafarian group and say that's we're a church, it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work.
No.
It ain't going to work. And I wanted to also, and you expanded on it, this is about health, right? And you said medicinal, you mentioned before. It's not about recreation at all.
Pause. I didn't even say it was about health, sir. Mm-hmm. I said it's about creating a medicinal marijuana industry. Mm-hmm. And I say it's about health because we have another question. I got to really delve into it, right? Mm-hmm. Licenses, right? There's a license to cultivate, and there's a license to process. So you like from harvest. Mm-hmm. To packaging to send somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a license to conduct research.
Mm-hmm.
There's a license to export. And there's a license to provide transportation services,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's a license to produce medicinal marijuana products or medicine in the country. I don't know that yet.
But you would need to have a license to do that, eh?
Well, you would need to, but I don't know. I mean, like I said, I haven't delved into the bill. Hey, BTC.
And it can't be bush medicine, eh? It can have to be a
but this is what I'm saying.
Laboratory-type medicine.
It's going to have to be medicine that is that comes through the pharmaceutical association that approves all pharmaceuticals that come through the country as good, right? Like, okay, these could come through. These we ain't sure about. It has to pass whatever.
So no marijuana tea and say that's good for cancer?
I can't imagine that that's what the plan is.
But before we go, did they give the 19 ailments that the marijuana could will be used for? Because I know everyone knows for cancer that it more likely would be used for that. But they list, because I know one of the callers mentioned earlier, say, oh, for my ailment, that's marijuana is good for it. But I'm not sure if it's listed.
All right, here we go.
Go ahead.
These include chemotherapy, chronic pain, multiple sclerosis, HIV or AIDS, severe epilepsy, damage to the nervous tissue of the spinal cord with objective neurological indication of intractable spasticity, PTSD, rheumatoid arthritis, autism, glaucoma, sickle cell anemia, anxiety, sleep disorders, Alzheimer's disease, Crohn's disease, hepatitis B, Dravet's syndrome, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, better known as Lou Gehrig's disease.
So if you don't have one of those, you cannot say, but I'm sick. And it has to be a doctor who says, give you a prescription to go wherever you go, right? And to get a specific weed. And of course, you cannot buy your weed from off the street. You would have to go to wherever.
You don't even think of it like that. You ain't gonna be buying weed. You will be buying cannabis based. You'd be buying CBD or THC based medicine. It probably look like pills, maybe a syrup.
You have to smoke?
I highly doubt that the pharmaceutical industry will be providing smokable cannabis as medicinal, which is my thing. Do we have the technical and industrial capacity to produce some of these medicines locally?
This would be problematic.
are these where the concerns come in about who can participate? Now, there was reference, right? I got to find a specific excerpt. There was reference to the potential for industrial cannabis industry. This is the space that I think Bahamians, the average Bahamian, have a greater chance of access to because it has less rigorous requirements involved in it. And people should continue to lobby for that as well. I would hate to think that somebody realizes that cannabis, Indian hemp, is what they call like a gray carbon credit composite. Because it sequesters, it absorbs carbon credits. So I hope that somebody hasn't paused or is attempting to create another industry for a specific set of people. Because this would be the space for average Bahamian, best suited for the average Bahamian to organize and get into.
But perhaps this is part of it. And I want to commend the government for embracing it and saying, put it to the people that we can now hash it. Anyway.